Okay. I set my levels. I'm dragging the pod down.
Oh,
okay.
Weird. No, I was saying you're squatting down to the ground so you can lift the pod up.
That's
on
right.
Your shoulders.
Yeah. Remember when there was only one like set Atlas, of footprints yeah. in the sand? That was where I squatted down to lift you up.
Remember when there was like a couple butt prints in the sand? That was when I squatted extra low. Did I tell you that I've gotten my squat really, really low lately? It's like really, yeah. My range of motion is kind of off the charts. Actually.
Remember where there was kind of like a sand angel made in the sand?
You ever heard the story of the scorpion and the frog?
Mm-hmm.
I did. Yeah, I hate that story.
It's a mean story.
I'm actually the caterpillar watching from afar.
Yeah, jerking off.
Because I have no friends. I'm a coomer.
Yeah, just saying, I wish that was me.
I'm cooming into a butterfly.
I'm cooming.
Oh, man. Yeah. Just imagine, though, like everybody wants to identify with like characters from books and TV shows. But now I'm imagining a guy who like reads a book and he's like, oh, man, to be a fly on the wall in this situation. Even though that's what reading a book is.
He's reading The Great Gatsby and is like, man, can you imagine if you could like be at one of Gatsby's parties? Oh, that'd be crazy. I wish I could be there.
Yeah, I wish I could be a fly on the wall of Beauty and the Beast.
Reading Harry Potter and being like, man, I really wish there was a book about what it's like to be a Hogwarts student. That seems crazy.
Dude, I just wish I knew what fucking Harry Potter was thinking. It'd be so cool if I could only know that.
It's like this guy. Only there was just some bad narration I could read.
Yeah, being inside of this child's mind is all I want.
But not in a sus way. It's like in a cool
eyeball.
Way.
In a cool
I'm,
way.
I'm
yeah.
posting eyeball.
The yeah. eyeball.
The all seeing eye.
The I see you, motherfucker. Yeah.
Oh. Is that what that is? I thought everybody was just like, this eye emoji is real funny. If you could post this. No,
you didn't know what it was. I didn't know why people were posting eyes underneath, like whenever like anybody with the last name Epstein posts, or anybody.
I thought it was a Lord of the Rings thing. Sauron?
Yeah, it's the Mordor eye.
Realistically, Sauron, yeah. I mean, that's why it's on all our money, because the real life equivalent of Sauron just owns everything that you can imagine.
Yeah, well, you know what they say. You gotta tune in. Turn up, drop out, Sauron, switch off.
Mordor. Hey.
Frodo, you got to do that somehow.
Samwise.
But Bryn, you were telling us a story before.
Oh, yeah. No,
before we were on mic.
I was talking to my drummer, who I've known for 4-ish, 5 years, and he was showing me a picture of somebody, and I said, oh, the guy in this picture is doing a soy face. And if you look at this picture, which I put in the chat, he is definitely doing one. And my drummer was like, what's a soy face? And I was like, how do you not know what that is? And so I showed him pictures of what a soy face is. And if you don't know, it's like the end of saying, yeah, really. You're really excited. And you're like, yeah. And your eyebrows are up and your mouth is open wide.
Yeah.
The funniest part to me is that the person soy facing in this photo that Bryn has sent in our chat is actually just has like prison face tats also.
Yeah. And he's a Disneyland. It's like a mashup of like four different aesthetics happening at once.
Yo, yeah. MF's just
it's
be,
a great picture.
MF's just be changing once they have kids. Well, so there's soy face, but there's like a new thing, pog face, right?
Yeah.
And it's like there's an important distinction there, because to a layman, they might seem like the same face. All right.
Yeah.
So a soy face is more, it's a full wide open smile and your mouth is open and it's more of a smile. So it's definitely like a kind of a crescent mouth shape, but where the concave part of the crescent is the top of your mouth, obviously. But the pog face is more of like it's just a dick sucking face. Like your mouth is round. Like you're saying pog or like, oh,
yeah.
And your face is just stretched.
I'm loving this, this soy phrenology. This is exactly what I need.
Yeah. This is the phrenology of if you are, I guess, a man or something. Well,
the distinction, right, is like a soy face is like excitement. But then like a pog is like amazement and like enthusiasm, right? So like soy face
like an
is
epic
like,
win.
Yeah, like a soy face is like you just got a Nintendo Switch, but poggers is like you're watching a streamer unbox a Nintendo Switch.
Yeah.
Or it's like when the football announcers say goal.
Yeah.
It's like saying goal. You're doing the like your lips are out.
Soy face is what you do when you get the Nintendo Switch from your wife's boyfriend, and then pog face is what you'd make when your wife's boyfriend fucks your wife in exchange for getting you a Nintendo Switch.
Yeah. Anyway, hello everybody. Welcome to Bee People Lettuce.
Welcome to soy lettuce.
Yeah, yeah. Soy fake chicken. What?
I just had some real chicken. I roasted a chicken today.
Delicious.
That's fucking awesome.
Nice. I had real chicken too.
Yeah, stop trying to veganize the fucking podcast name. It's already vegan, you dipshits.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
True.
Weed is totally vegan.
I see a list and it's like 10 vegetarian desserts. I'm like, what the fuck is a vegetarian dessert? Aren't they all pretty much
meat-free cheesecake? Finally, no pig blood in our cheesecake.
Yeah, now that I think about it, I don't think I could think of a dessert that has meat in it.
There's candied bacon. That's like the one thing I can think of.
Okay,
bacon. Wrap dates,
yeah,
maybe
well,
like more
that.
Of an appetizer.
Yeah,
Jello. If you count like bone collagen and stuff as meat, true. I don't really know if you do.
That's like very vegan. Like no vegetarian would be like, I can't have Jello.
Vegetarians don't eat Jello sometimes.
Yeah. What? That's crazy.
It's made of animals. It was an animal before it became the Jello.
They haven't figured out how to make that without animals yet. Come on.
They don't know how.
They can't even.
They can't synthesize Jello out of chemicals.
Uh huh. Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of synthesizing chemicals, Rolling Stone has found out that there's something called macro dosing.
Is that just when you do more than just a little bit of drugs?
Yeah, it turns out I was on the bleeding edge of drug culture like 10 fucking years ago.
When I was 15, I was...
I didn't know you were supposed
I was
to
way
cut
in the future.
The acid tabs up into 8 different pieces. I would just eat the whole thing.
I'm literally macro-dosing beer as we speak.
Taking drugs. That's the campaign.
As soon as I saw this headline, I was immediately reminded of an old Hard Times article that was like, the new microdosing? I keep getting drunk at work.
Which is, and he has a hard hat on.
Getting drunk at work is why white men were just so successful in the 60s. Because it was socially acceptable if you were a white man and wearing a suit to just be drinking at all times.
Yeah, to be wasted.
And that's where the confidence came from, and that's kind of why the 60s were like the golden era to just be an average white guy, because you could literally just work your way up from being like a car washer to owning an entire company if you just drank at work.
Yeah, and you could just rape people with impunity.
I mean, that's still
because you're
works.
Drunk all the
it's
time.
Just instead of alcohol and instead of working your way up at like a manufacturing plant, it's Silicon Valley and it's microdosing LSD. But you can still be the same abusive piece of shit. No problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, that hasn't really changed.
I feel like that all of this is just, we're just rehashing the entire like series run of Mad Men, because it did start with Don Draper drinking and raping at work, but then then he got into psychedelics and it went off the rails.
Oh yeah. I forgot that he does a bunch of acid in like season 8 or whatever.
Yeah, shows love to do that near the end of the run.
Yeah, you can't set a show in the 60s or 70s without being like, hey, one of our main characters' friends got some sugar cubes from a dentist. Like, shut the fuck up. Go smoke some like time period accurate brick weed if you really want to impress me. That would
if you
make
think about it, I mean, if you think about it, like that season of The Sopranos where Tony's in a coma and he's just having like a weird fever dream. Is kind of like the DMT that's getting released in his brain because his body thinks he's dying.
Mm-hmm. Oh. That's a great season. I love the coma dream. Steve Buscemi's there.
I think people don't like that.
Oh, they like it.
Yeah?
Well, I'm sure some people are like, where's all the whacking? There's not even any gabagool in his dream.
yeah, no.
Because in his dream, he's not Italian. He like doesn't have the accent, and he's named like Kevin or something.
Oh, hearing him talk without the accent is wild. But like that season, if you don't like that season, the people that don't like that season are like the ones that view The Sopranos as like a touchstone of Italian culture and nothing else.
I mean, for the longest time, I thought it was just a sandwich place.
Yeah, I thought, why is everyone wanting to go to Sopranos? I mean, I don't even really like that kind of stuff.
Why are you watching it? You want to watch somebody else eat an Italian sub? You can't even smell the salami yourself.
One of these days I'm going to watch that show and I'm finally going to be hip and it's going to suck.
No, it sucks.
Hey, look, fellas, is it gay to watch The Sopranos? I mean, you're literally watching a show about a thing of guys.
A guys with a thing.
No, this thing of
theirs. If it was really a manly show, it would be called The Baritones or The Basses. is, honestly.
That's true.
So that lead to this article is microdosing, where people take minuscule amounts of substances to change patterns of behavior, has brought psychedelics to the mainstream. But is there more to be gained with a much higher dose?
I mean,
yes, of course there's something to be gained with a much higher dose. You could realize that your job at Denny's is bullshit, take a shit on the grill, and walk out.
Yeah, I love this,
that's
though.
What you should definitely do.
They're like saying like, oh, are you like a tech developer or like an HR person or some weird executive? Like, maybe you should try taking a tab and a half at work. But how far does this go for those of us who have to like flip burgers and make lattes and park cars? Like, I can't eat two tabs of acid and then drive in and out of a garage all day. That's just a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, I'm a trucker and I'm macro dosing meth. And it's legal.
That's right.
It's actually totally fine. I have a prescription.
That's right.
So I mean, this is a very silly article. I mean, I think what's gross about it is like everyone. It's like the only way to write about drugs now is if you can like have your labor exploited faster. Yes. And better, right? Like,
right,
it's just like,
it's all about ways of like feeling happier and feeling more productive and like feeling good about your day or whatever.
Or yeah. Fixing your brain to be like more like just back in line.
Yeah.
Right. How right. They're using MDMA as therapy now. Like it's all about, it's pathologizing basically like anything outside of the Overton window of how you should just behave as a human.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then if you can figure out a way to exploit that, it's in order to make you more efficient.
Right. Well, yeah, it's mm-hmm. the expansion of like liberal capitalist capture of technology, right? Drugs are a technology just like anything else, or a tool. And they've been used for a long time by people to be like, hey, you know, this isn't going to make you an instant revolutionary or anything, but it is going to break down, like a psychedelic breaks down a lot of barriers of reasoning or whatever that you've built up over the years. And it could actually expand your mind. And, you know, it took exactly until now for the corporate class and eventually the U.S. government to come in and be like, well, wait. How does this make people actually be more effective wage slaves, right? It's no longer like about breaking down anything or breaking free of anything. It's now just a new way back into being a capitalist subject. And that fucking sucks, because mm-hmm. that like robs all the cool subcultures and all the cool like cultural movements of the United States, at least, of yet another way to like just at least say fuck you in like a cultural manner.
Right. Well, and of course, this article says nothing about all the people literally in prison for like having these drugs on them.
Right.
But it's just like assumed that anybody reading it can get them and has nothing to worry about. I wonder why.
I think what's changed now is that like the general, I mean, the tastemakers, the zeitgeist, whatever, the deep state, whoever is kind of, you know, causing the focus to be on articles like this, has realized that drugs don't expand your mind. Like for the most part, like drugs aren't what is expanding your mind. Drugs just get you fucked up and you decide whether you want to expand your mind at that point or not. That's why like festival kids will do like enough fucking acid to turn you into the Dalai Lama, but still just be completely fucking brain dead. And like your buddy Steve, who does acid or DMT once, will suddenly become like an insane psychedelic rock guitarist or something.
I mean, that's true. It's about what direction you get pushed in. Like a psychedelic isn't just gonna like give you otherworldly knowledge. It's just something that like puts you in a state that you're not used to, and so you have to like relearn a lot of your faculties or redevelop things in the moment to kind of approach functioning as a human being again. And it's easy to see how that could let you like unlearn capitalist or imperialist propaganda, but it's also easy to see how that could make you like deeply internalize it if that's what you were being exposed to during that, or
yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
The corporate work environment is just another mode of capture like that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be surprised if somebody like found a hidden chapter in Obama's book and were like, oh, he was like, whenever he drone bombed someone, he would microdose LSD to like open his third eye, and he was like, oh, yep, it is clear to me now that I have to murder that person.
Well, I mean, like,
thank you, spirit guides.
If you've ever taken MDMA, you know, like you could do anything on that shit. And you'd be like, this is out of love. Like I could yeah, drop yeah. the bomb that ends the world, like just like strips all life off the planet. And I'd be like, this is the greatest thing anybody's ever done.
it's like how acid makes you think that everything that's happening around you is like the most important, most yeah. epic thing that's ever yeah. happened. Like mm-hmm. you could be watching, you could be like realizing that, like you could like take acid and like take a shit and then realize you've been wiping wrong the whole time, and it could be the biggest revelation of your life.
I mean, yeah. like that's the thing. It's easy to get distracted. You take a couple tabs, you're like, oh man, I want to go get something from the gas station. Before you know it, it's 4 a.m. and you've been watching the Roller Dogs for 3.5 hours contemplating new world.
Yeah, why are there always 3 Roller Dogs? It's obviously the Masonic Triad.
Yeah, I'm just imagining Obama like on acid being like, no, wait, look, everybody's the same person. I'm a civilian and an enemy combatant. So I've never killed any civilian. They're all enemy combatants.
They were actually killing themselves.
It's like if somebody had just snuck some psychedelics into Hitler's art school, he would have been like, mein Gott, wir all just one race, the human race.
Yeah, shit. That's it's a little known strategy. They
I'm
going to
go back in time and dose baby Hitler.
Look, if you're a moral person, you would give baby Hitler, you would help him candy flip in his juice bottle.
Can you imagine being like a time machine MK Ultra person just going back and dosing famous people of history? That would rule.
Yeah, that sounds like a great...
That's actually a government project they're going to start in 20 years, but we're already seeing the effects.
Yeah.
I mean, what, do you think David Bowie just happened naturally? That was like a ton of time traveled extra potent MDMA.
Didn't David Bowie get a bunch of money from like a UK state-driven like artist grant that was given? Like, isn't that why there are so many British rock stars despite their relatively small population? Because the state funded a bunch of them? I'm not 100% clear on the details, but I'm fairly certain something like that happened.
We all know that the Beatles were a psyop, right?
That's correct, yes.
Yep.
That's correct.
What, their manager was named Epstein? I don't think that's a coincidence.
That's right.
All right.
No, I mean, the Beatles were literally a psyop. I mean, I don't want to get into this on this episode because we all got a lot of stuff to get into, but the Beatles were literally a psyop to produce culture that was directly antithetical to communism and then push that on the masses so they could drive people away from the cultural aesthetics of communism.
Exactly. All you need is love? Bullshit. I need a dollar and a gun.
That's correct.
Yellow submarine? How about a fucking affordable house, you piece of shit?
Yeah,
what the hell's wrong right. with you?
Imagine idealist. Maybe. How about I go out there and do some fucking praxis?
All right. Well, speaking of big brain shit, in these times is reporting that New York City cab drivers have made an app called the Drivers Cooperative.
Nice.
Which is basically seems to aim to basically take over Uber and Lyft in the city.
Hell
that
yeah.
is it is a worker owned cooperative app. So it's kind of hard to figure out how they got the money for this, but this, as far as I can tell, it seems pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, if it's actually flowering out of like a democratic institution and like all of the drivers who are involved with the co-op feel like they're actual partners in a cooperative, then this seems like nothing but a good thing to me. For a long time, I've thought, like, you know, the whole Silicon Valley Uber, Lyft, you know, DoorDash, whatever thing is like, we have the idea and then we pay engineers to help make it happen and then we scam right. a bunch of working people. And it's like, wait a minute, if all it takes is an idea and hiring engineers, why don't working people just band together and do that shit themselves?
Exactly.
But it's like you said, there's a question of funding. It's like, where do you get the startup costs to ensure that you can launch this in a way that will actually, you know, push these dinosaur capital. I mean, dinosaurs. Uber and Lyft are how old? Like 8 years.
But the thing is, it's all just maybe, it's still just a fucking Band-Aid, right? I mean, the ideal is still literal public transportation. It's not you know, just a way to make private transportation a little bit fairer for the people who work on it. I mean, why do we have Uber and Lyft anyway? Because public transportation fucking sucks ass.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's exactly it, though. It's like if you had these, you know, these unions, they can gradually expand their focus if they actually do establish any kind of community power. There's no reason to let, like, corrupt city governments run the public transportation in a city anymore. And I think once we get comfortable with the idea of stealing the shit out of the hands of corrupt companies, yeah, maybe it won't be that far of a site for us to move on to stealing it out of the hands of, you know, whatever fucking local politician wants to tell us that the bus lines need to be cut or whatever.
Right. And this comes from a organization called the Independent Drivers Guild, which is a, according to this article, a union affiliated group that organizes rideshare drivers in New York. And I'm not sure who else they're affiliated with. But it appears that they are the ones sort of helping get this thing organized. Because obviously rideshare drivers aren't coders, so it's helpful.
Right.
So reading this article, it seems like, you know, being outside of the thumb of Uber, you know, really, you know, sets a precedent of, well, we can just stop using you. And I think they're going to face a lot of pushback for this.
Oh, did you guys also hear that Uber stopped funding research into self-driving cars? They gave up on self-driving cars.
I saw something about that. Yeah.
I mean,
so funny.
It makes sense why they would spend, you know, tens of millions of dollars in California to stop Prop 22.
Right.
Because they for the foreseeable future, will have to rely on human labor. So if they can't replace the humans, they just have to figure out better ways to exploit them, which is why I guess this Independent Drivers Guild is a good thing. But in the long run, you know, it remains to be seen whether Uber is just so powerful that they'll be able to, I don't know, fucking legislate this guild out of existence, or what will happen when they run up against each other in the courts.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they can definitely like burn money to like run at a loss, because I think Uber just in general is losing billions of dollars every year. So, you know, like,
yeah, it's all Saudi oil money.
Yeah. Well, in an area where there's actual competition, they're going to like deeply undercut them. And it's like, for most people, they don't really care who owns the app they're using. They just like want to pay as cheap as possible for a ride. Unfortunately.
Yeah, but the thing is, if you're racist, delete their app, right?
That's true, too.
Remember that billboard they did? If you're racist, delete Uber.
But look, if Uber or Lyft ever fold or like experience some kind of major crisis, and with the kind of bubble economy that they're working in, I can't imagine that they won't eventually, like the class of laborer that they've created is still going to exist. There was this case where, like, in Western Canada, a German company, I don't remember their name, but they were similar to DoorDash or Uber Eats, they folded, and all the drivers who were working for them had just formed a union, and they're like, well, we're going to hold on to this union and find out what we can do with it, maybe even launch our own service or figure something out like that. If that keeps happening, you know, pretty soon enough anecdotes together become evidence, and these people will start working with each other and building a broad gig workers coalition. And we already see the seeds of that. It's just a question of whether or not they can, you know, germinate and grow before the influences of capital manage to work their way out of a crisis and have the time to crush them again, basically.
Right. That's the kind of pointed strikes that we need to be able to do and organize. Think, you know, if the Independent Drivers Guild is able to, you know, gain any footholds of power against the huge companies like Uber and Lyft, then if they can, you know, start branching out and start organizing, you know, MTA workers or anybody driving buses or, you know, the Port Authority workers or whatever, and then being able to collectivize things like railroads and stuff, then we're really getting somewhere.
Well, until that happens, we're still going to have to deal with a lot of just big companies trying to make things shittier for workers. But while they're making things shittier for workers, their executives are having sex with children on private islands.
Hell yeah.
Which leads me to our next article. This is a little bit of a circuitous route, so let me bring this all the way around for you all.
Okay.
All right.
You ready?
I forgot about this.
Follow me on this one? Okay. So, somebody in the Wall Street Journal this past week named Joseph Epstein wrote an article entitled, "Is There a Doctor in the White House? Not If You Need an MD."
Oh, my God.
Subtitle, Jill Biden should think about dropping the honorific, which feels fraudulent, even comic.
Yeah.
It's basically some asshole in the Wall Street Journal opinion section writing an article about how he thinks that Jill Biden should drop the doctor from her name, even though she has a doctor. She has a doctorate of education. It's like, I don't care about Jill Biden. I don't care whether she uses doctor in her name. However, this article generated an insane amount of controversy.
Sure.
All right. People were all just dunking on it relentlessly. Here's the thing. Joseph Epstein is a fall guy. Joseph Epstein is a literal fall guy. He has been selected to write this article. I'm sure it was, you know, organic. Okay. His editor comes in. He's like, Joseph, I need you to write a thing about how you need to write something spicy about Jill Biden. All right. And right on cue, we post the article and everybody dunks on it. Everybody's like, this is sexist. This mm-hmm. is, you know, this is anti-intellectual. And a million articles come out. Well, like I said before, his name is Joseph Epstein. What would you do if you wanted to bury? Because we've never seen a resolution on Epstein. We haven't even heard anything about Ghislaine Maxwell in the past few weeks. What would you want to do if you wanted to bury the Epstein story for good? You would bury the SEO in an avalanche of bullshit about some asshole named Joseph Epstein in the Wall Street Journal opinion section writing about Jill Biden going as Dr. Biden.
Well, it's getting so much attention because it's the equivalent of that joke where you're on the plane with your dad and someone has a heart attack and he's like, bet you wish you went to medical school now. And you're like, Dad, I am a doctor. And he's like, yeah, see if they need any dialectical theory applied over there. And it's funny, but it's like, you know, how stupid do you have to be to think that all doctors are medical doctors?
So your theory is that the Wall Street Journal decided to run an article by this one guy named Epstein to get people to stop talking about Jeffrey Epstein?
What happens when you Google Epstein right now?
It's all Jeffrey Epstein.
Typical Democrat incompetence.
Pictures of Jeffrey Epstein.
They're going to keep trying.
Jeffrey Epstein.
I guarantee you they're going to keep trying.
But Prince this Andrew is the and first, Jeffrey Epstein.
This is the first of a series of attempts to bury Jeffrey Epstein in SEO. To basically memory hole him from the annals of time by flooding. It's Huxley, and they're going to flood information into the system to drown out the real shit because they can, because they, you know, the people who are in control and own everything, they're also the same members of the ruling class who participated in Epstein shit. So they have a vested interest in burying this.
Get ready for the new Netflix series to be written, directed, and produced by Jeffrey Epstein.
Bob Epstein.
I bet you guys heard that there's 5 new Star Wars shows. What you don't know is that every single person in those shows is named some variation of Jeffrey Epstein. You got Jeff Rue Epstein. You got Jeff Ra Epstein. Before you know it, you're just going to be seeing Star Wars bullshit when you try to look up Jeffrey Epstein.
This guy is that, very...
That's the plan. Trust me. Trust the plan.
Mm-hmm. To be fair to Todd, I don't know if he deserves us to be fair to him, but that article does come up when you search Epstein. It's near the bottom, but it's like one of the things.
That's right.
That's not Jeffrey Epstein.
This is very
funny. Just a couple more articles, and that then Epstein is out of your search results.
Yeah, Rome wasn't memory scrubbed in a day, you know?
That's right.
This is very funny because the thing, okay, if you Google Joseph Epstein, the writer, and go to his Wikipedia page, the thing right before on his career section, before the article on Jill Biden 2020, is article on homosexuality 1970. So according to his Wikipedia, he hasn't written anything since basically 2015, and then
well,
before that
written
1970.
Anything controversial since 1970.
Right.
So he took a 50-year break from writing controversial articles and came back just in time to write an article that would decrease the SEO of search results for stories about Jeffrey.
Just found dead in his car.
I think I would be more sympathetic to your argument if his name was Bislane Maxwell. But his last, in 1970, he published an article called Homo/Hetero, The Struggle for Sexual Identity, that used the N-word to describe being gay.
Wow.
He had to meditate for 50 years to come up with the next version of that article.
Well, that's the thing, because with all the bi erasure going on, bisexual people are the N-word of LGBTQ people.
That's right.
People.
There you go, Jeffrey Epstein.
This guy, like, kept a fucking cork on his terrible opinions for 50 years, and then he saw someone called Jill Biden doctor, and he was like, that's it! That's the last straw! This is the funniest thing to come out of, like, insane editorial retirement for.
You know, Jeffrey Epstein is not in the running, but there were a couple other people that the Time magazine had in the running for Person of the Year, who we all know ended up being Dr. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris.
Joe Biden's not a doctor.
No, he's Dr. Joe Biden.
Yeah, he got his doctorate at the School of Hard Knocks, Jack.
No, I just like to call
says so on his Facebook. Yeah, I just
like to he took his wife's last name and her honorific.
Yes, exactly.
Have you ever hear him say Dr. Jill Biden? It sounds like he's just saying Dr. Joe Biden. Yeah. He does not know how to say Jill correctly.
But the four nominees for Person of the Year for Time magazine, a magazine that nobody reads, nobody cares about, and nobody will talk about within 36 hours of right now.
Yeah.
Nominated Joe Biden, President Trump, Dr. Fauci, and in general, frontline healthcare workers.
Yes. So the Time, you're absolutely right that no one gives a shit about any of this. And I remember the first year growing up, it's sort of this big tradition, and you see that magazine, and it's like people seem to care, and it was on the news.
They gave
shit.
It to Hitler.
Yeah, they gave
they
it
literally
to,
gave it to Hitler.
He was the man of the year.
They gave it to him again in 2020.
Hey, yeah, that's right.
But
masks are fascism. Masks are fascism, folks.
But I remember in 2006 was the first year I was like, oh, this is such bullshit, because they nominated you.
Yeah,
remember
that was the way of like getting the internet involved. There was like, well, there's like the internet and like YouTube, and
you're the person
you,
of the year.
It's you. Let's do that. It's you. That
yeah,
it's a bunch of bullshit.
So no one actually gives a shit. But it's definitely Trump. Like it's way more Trump than anyone else. If we're gonna say that, like the most important person of the year.
Mm-hmm. Like what the fuck did Kamala Harris do this year? She did fucking nothing.
Oh, annexed the Sudetenland.
Kamala Harris didn't do anything. The what?
This is nothing. World War II joke.
I see you, John. Right. I see you, I hear you, and you're valid.
Thank you.
they didn't even think to nominate George Floyd or something, like someone who had massive.
I thought it was going to be George Floyd.
I gotta
be honest.
That would have been like the sort of mildly cynical, but like tipping the hat to like
insanely cynical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Shout out to his family.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that fucking DJ.
Yeah. I forget who it was.
Shit, David.
Was it
David Guetta?
Yeah, oh, David Guetta. David Guetta
doing a
performing
DJ
on
set
rooftop,
on a roof,
and he's just like, "Oh, shout out to George Floyd." And now I'm gonna drop this beat.
Yeah,
shout out to his family.
Shout out to his family. I have a dream.
Yeah, he sampled the "I Have a Dream" speech and then dropped a sick beat. Oh man.
Oh man, it's so bad.
It's so good because that was such a genuine attempt by that guy to be racially conscious.
He was really doing.
He was really nailing it, like being woke. That's incredible.
So you know they thought maybe we'll do healthcare workers or whatever, and that'll be it. But you know, who cares?
They should have given it right to the coronavirus. Honestly, why fuck around?
Yeah.
You know, it's like the elephant in the room.
Person of the year.
Like COVID. COVID influenced more
COVID
people than anybody else. Yeah.
They should have No. Pete Buttigieg has declared victory in the Time Person of the Year election.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's just huge coincidence. They use Shadow to calculate this, and I'm in the lead. I won, actually. So that's cool. Thanks, guys.
I did want to mention before we get to the next article. Since we were talking about George Floyd, is that one of the women from, or one of the organizers of the protests around the Breonna Taylor protests was just like murdered in a drive-by by like a big police truck.
Jesus.
And so I just wanted to mention that because we've talked a lot on this show about people in Ferguson getting just absolutely murked after the Ferguson rallies. So they've been doing it again, but I just want everyone to not forget that the police and possibly the FBI or CIA are still just killing protesters. I mean, even throughout this year, and everyone knows it, and it's hard to prove because they're like, oh, we're looking for who did it.
Right,
you know,
but it's like
she was literally killed by cops, or just like people think it was cops. Or
we've thoroughly investigated ourselves and found ourselves not culpable of any wrongdoing. Case closed.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I pulled up the article, and that's literally it. They basically were like, "Yeah, we couldn't figure out who killed him."
Mm. Yeah,
Jesus.
His name was
the police.
Chris.
Just were like, they just gave up.
Well, they did it. That's the thing. Like, you ever watch the Unsolved Mysteries reboot that they had recently? I watched the first season. There were like four different cases. Three of them were definitely the police. I was watching this. I was like, they can't solve it because they did it. You fucking fools. Shoot them.
And there's so many things like that. Like, remember the Golden State Killer was like, yeah, he was a cop.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Obviously, he was a cop. Who else would have the capability to do something like that? Just go around murdering people with impunity for years. I'm guessing the Christ. Zodiac Killer was probably a cop, too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. probably.
Oh, yeah. They solved that guy's cipher.
One of them. Yeah, they still can't figure out the one that's only 13 characters, I think, the real short one, but the 340 character cipher got cracked, and it pretty much sucks. It's a terrible little screed. He's like, I hope you're having fun finding me, and then he just says like a bunch of like really depressing it's like some fucking teenager angst poetry.
He said something along the lines of like, he'll never see the electric chair, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's like, I'm not afraid of the gas chamber.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to have so many slaves when I get to heaven because I've killed people or something.
And then Ted Cruz did an epic quote tweet. He said, actually, you got it wrong.
That's all he said?
Yeah,
he didn't make a joke?
No, because the whole meme was like Ted Cruz is a Zodiac killer.
Oh, he was leaning into...
He is the Zodiac killer.
Wait, did he really do that?
Yeah, he quote tweeted it and said, you got it wrong.
Wow. That's the one way for that joke to become unfunny and lame is for him to just acknowledge it.
Yeah, Ted, how do you not understand that this is at your expense? And once you're in on it, all of the gas is empty from the tank. There's no funny anymore.
And now it's actually
I think that's enough evidence that we can actually make a citizen's arrest on Ted Cruz.
I think that we should absolutely do that.
If any of you are located in Texas, bring a gun. no, please.
Bring your copy of Fortnite.
It's Texas. You can bring a gun just about anywhere, and it's up to you to decide what to do.
Actually, that's true. Yeah, so... bring a gun to meet with Ted Cruz, which is your right as a Texan.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. It's your right as a human being. Everyone should get to meet Ted Cruz.
That's correct. So another, speaking of people making weird tweets, Jimmy Dore this week, a person who I don't really know who it is. The people call him a comedian, but the one episode of his show that I've seen was just like with some guy from the Gray Zone talking about the CIA. And I thought it was a pretty good video. I have to say
he's like a proto Michael Brooks type.
It wasn't funny.
He's kind of a sock dem guy.
Well, that's the impression that I get from him. Not knowing that much is that he seems like one of those guys who's like, oh yeah, I'm a social Democrat, but really is like a quote unquote progressive Dem or whatever.
Yeah.
Right. But he does seem to have some pretty good understanding about like the deep state and stuff and doesn't shy away from that. So I thought that was nice. But what is funny about this is that this week he basically suggested that the quote unquote progressive wing of the Democratic Party withhold their votes for Nancy Pelosi as speaker to force a vote for Medicare for All, which I'm not a wonk. I don't know if that makes any sense, but
it'll never happen.
AOC
is too busy on Instagram doing coke and saying, you know, shit that like was already lame when Occupy said it 12 years ago.
Right. Which is funny because that's what happened was that every single like blue dog Democrat, every blue check liberal on Twitter was like, fuck this guy. He was trending.
Yeah.
he was trending on Twitter, and I was a little bit, this was, they wrote about this in Jacobin, so I thought it was an excuse to talk about it. I didn't want it to be too like a Twitter thing, but it was a pretty big deal for like all of these freaks who care about the Democratic Party, because everyone thought that this was horrible. Mm-hmm. Everyone thought that it was sexist. Evil for him to suggest that they fucking do something, that yeah. use any sort of weight to throw behind the quote unquote progressive, the squad, to do anything against the party to force Medicare for all. And everyone was like, fuck this guy. Let's ruin his career. Yeah. And even tons of people who like pose themselves online as like, you know, socialists or whatever, were like, this guy was criticizing progressive Democrats or whatever.
Try not mansplaining to female socialists, you piece of shit. She's an activist doing the work, and you're just some fucking dude, bro. Stay in your fucking lane, dude.
Insane.
Well, that's
and
the funniest thing. Like, even the AOC responses to this were just like her and like a bunch of other like squad members or progressive Dems or whatever being like, you don't understand. There's things that we need to do. There's steps that we need to take. We got to get everyone together, and just like all these fucking like slogans, basically. And it's like, just do mm-hmm. them. You're in power. Yeah. You won your election. Do it. Do the job. Like, I don't know how hard this is. We all have to do our jobs or we'll die. Like, maybe we should set the same precedent for, I don't know, just throwing ideas out there while we're spitballing.
Yeah, it's very insane, because I think it's a little bit like, it's definitely cringe to give a shit what the Democrats do. They're not going to do anything.
Right, yeah.
I mean, and what I think you should learn, if you saw this on Twitter and you were like sort of on Jimmy Dore's side, that it would be good if they did something, what you should learn is they're never going to do anything. The whole branding of the squad is all allowed because it is within the boundaries of not fucking doing anything.
Yes.
Because they want it to stay the same forever. Mm-hmm. They want to do what the Republicans want to do because they're the same type of people. And
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is literally being groomed to be Nancy Pelosi for your generation.
Yeah.
Listener. Mm-hmm. That is, the Nancy Pelosi, when she was younger, she probably instilled the same feeling in young Democratic voters, I don't know, like 100 years ago, whenever they were young, whatever, that AOC does to you, unless, you know, you're as cynical as we are. But, you know, it's going to be the exact same thing over and over again, because nothing ever gets better and everything just gets worse until you die.
Well, I don't agree. But I mean, Nancy Pelosi, but if you recall, Nancy Pelosi was a leader in the anti-war movement. Like, she was a big, like, civil liberties, like, you know, activist type person who, when people voted for her and were excited for her, she literally was like kind of an AOC for her time. You're mm-hmm. absolutely right.
She was opposed to the Civil War. She didn't want that to happen. She was anti-war.
She was anti-Civil War. Yeah. But no, she when she got into Congress, she absolutely immediately turned around and was like, actually, we, you know, have to have plans. We have to do this. We have to, you know, it's hard and hand-wringing and stuff like this.
Mm-hmm. And also, I keep getting richer, and that's actually cooler than doing anything.
Yeah. Exactly.
I own a vineyard now, which is kind of cool for
and
me.
And people like AOC and Ayanna Pressley and Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib, look, they'll kill Rashida Tlaib before she can affect any change.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, Rashida Tlaib is the only one of them that actually seems like a real person to me. Aside from the obvious signs of AOC just being a straight up intelligence asset, it is equally likely that she just did the exact same thing as Pelosi did with the fucking anti-war movement. She adopted the, you know, progressive cause du jour in order to become a filthy rich fucking politician.
Well, yeah, and also, like, intelligence asset isn't just a job. It's a genre of person that you can be. You don't need a CIA handler to act like you have one. There's enough social indicators to teach you how to do it on your own without you even realizing that you're doing it. So there's that,
right,
too.
So David Sirota wrote this thing in Jacobin, and basically was saying, like, well, it wouldn't work or whatever. Some wonk stuff is like, this is what they can do. And like, literally, who gives a shit? Do it or don't. I don't care. I don't need to be reading this stuff. I'm not in power. Like, this is what's so weird to me about wonks, is that it's like they spend all their time like figuring out this, like, they think they're going to be the ones who like figure out how to legislate Medicare for All or like some good idea or maneuver. Like they're researching sports plays. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like, who, you're not on the team.
Yeah.
You can't run a touchdown. It's impossible. They don't care what you think.
But wait, if I can just give Tom Brady this thing I've drawn up, he can throw a pass that will never miss.
That's how
miss.
Absurd it is. It's like mm-hmm. these weird fantasy footballers who are like, if they had just punted there, mm-hmm. that we would be in the Super Bowl or whatever.
And if they
like,
said fucking if Goku Queen, on that team as a running back, they would win every time. It's fucking bullshit.
If the Queen Goku. Just serves Donald Trump tea in her tea set that has Peter Rabbit on it
oh, yeah.
while wearing a purple sweater and a white gold diamond that cost the lives of thousands of colonial subjects to make, then he'll be epically owned.
That's right.
Oh yeah, he was out of that day.
So who gives a shit? If someone is mad at somebody for suggesting a play, what you should be reading into that is that the Democrats are worried that anyone will call on them to do anything, and. They're not afraid of separating the party because they're not going to let anybody do anything. But if you're mad at Jimmy Dore, then you've completely bought into the fiction that the Democratic Party is something that you have a hand in and that they're your friends or something, mm-hmm. which they are not. They are your enemies.
Yeah, well, I feel like events like this are a good way of illustrating the way that it's like the Democratic Party is a perfect like busy box for progressive, like vaguely activist people.
Because yes.
if you were like, hey, Ted Cruz should do something to end poverty, he'd be like, ah, fuck you. I'm going to have you shot. And if you ask AOC to do anything good, she's like, well, here are the 10 ways that I actually am doing it that you don't know about or you don't understand the process or whatever. It's like she's still saying no, or she's still saying like it can't happen the way you want it to.
Right.
She's just saying it in a more obfuscated way that indicates that maybe she wants the same thing. And for all we know, it's like she wants the outcome of Medicare for All, but it's like she's inside a system that absolutely can't achieve that and hasn't fully recognized that, or has some sort of idealist concept that she can just like keep grinding away and eventually the system will be on that course.
Yeah. I just love this whole Jimmy Dore situation because it makes me think like, In this case, this is like Jimmy Dore is like my dad watching a Lions game and he's like, oh, come on. Are you fucking kidding me? Get your head in the game. And then every single member of the team and like everyone else hops on Twitter or like calls his phone to yell at him. Like that's so
it's
fucking
insane.
Funny. That's like the best shit in the world, honestly. And like it's a great illustration of why the Democrats are just like not to be taken seriously at all. Like this is their political theater.
It's absolutely nuts. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Because it's like if Stephen A. Smith was like, the Knicks should win the championship. And then the owner and all the players of the Knicks were like, fuck you.
They all went to his house. I'm like, how could you say that,
Stephen? Would you think as a fan that the Knicks want to win the championship? No, you would absolutely be correct in assuming, oh, wow, the Knicks for some reason don't want to win the championship.
Exactly.
They don't want to give you Medicare for All. They don't want to give you anything, ever.
What do you think that this entire year has been? It has been just excuse after excuse for why they can give you less and less. And everything that happens, everything that's like, oh, just we need you to get out and vote just to beat Trump. We need you to get out and vote because of COVID. None of that is going to do anything for you. These people aren't beholden to you, and they don't owe you anything, and they won't give you anything because of that.
Yeah.
So everything that's happened this year has just been a funnel. And as much as I hate to say it, a lot of the organic social movements have resulted basically in just PMC activist types within their ranks funneling all that energy just back into the Democratic Party, which at the end of the day is the same party that caused a lot of the systemic issues that those organic social movements are trying to remedy.
Yeah, that's just it. It's like, I know that it's nice when you elect somebody like AOC or whoever to beat like this nasty Republican who was in there before. That's a good feeling. I get that. But it doesn't fucking matter that much if all your representatives are going to do or go on to like make you fucking soy face while you watch them play Among Us. Like, I don't care. It doesn't fucking matter. Like, if your representative can't do their job, make them do their job. And if that means means organizing outside the government and staging an armed revolution. Well, I'm not saying that you should do that, but I'm saying that that's exactly what you should do. Yeah,
hell yeah.
No, but that's exactly right. I mean, and the thing is that people who have rose emojis in their Twitter bio or whatever, like, understand that, you know, when they get Mitch McConnell in, that people are like, why are these dumb poor people cheering for fucking freaks like Ted Cruz? Because it makes Democrats mad. And that's the only thing, the only reason you getting AOC into, or Ilhan Omar into office, is because it makes Republicans mad. Neither of them are going to do anything for you.
No, it's a game of political enjoyment. Everybody wants it to be a fucking TV show that they can watch with a bunch of seasons and characters weaving in and out. It's the fucking governance of a country. Like, take it seriously for 2 seconds.
It doesn't matter. It's just as absurd when the Republicans do it as when the Democrats do it. So it doesn't matter. What you have to do now, because again, like we said before, Bernie Sanders was an off-ramp maybe, that everyone decided, okay, if we can get Bernie Sanders, maybe something will actually happen. And like he said, and I am not even sure if I think Bernie Sanders is like not an actual anti-capitalist, but the one thing he said where I was like, this is going to be a thing that changes something, is he's like, I'm going to organize people. I'm going to be the organizer in chief, and I'm going to strengthen unions, and I'm going to strengthen, you know, grassroots organizations. And that's all that matters. So now that Bernie is not on the table anymore to be in the Democratic Party, you still have to do the grassroots organizing just without him.
It rules that there are still people who think that, like, Bernie is going to get a surprise spot in Biden's cabinet.
No way.
Like, come on.
Oh, you better be fucking thankful. Sanders should be thankful that he is not fucking dead.
Yeah. If you're stupid enough to believe that Bernie Sanders is going to be put in charge of anything meaningful, you are a baby. You are too young to listen to this show. Turn off the
show.
You
are a baby.
It's about adult topics. It's not suitable for you.
Bernie Sanders was a busy box for the left,
basically.
In some ways, and I mean, yes. In many, I mean, I think he was an authentic political figure, but the way he was positioned and the holes he was forced into, he was barely more than that. You know, by the time he actually had any chance of attaining
power. There's a couple
power.
Holes that I'd like to force Nancy Pelosi into. I'm talking about those the giant pits with stakes at the bottom that they used in Vietnam
Reed,
as booby traps.
The enigma of like Amagala Faults.
Yeah, no, that... well, speaking of something to make you irrationally angry to the point where you're just in a blind rage and just willing to do anything in order to get the voices to stop, or is that just me? Okay. Uh-huh. Anyway,
we're all here.
this Economist article that I pulled up is doing that to me. It's entitled "How the Pandemic is Forcing Managers to Work Harder." Remote work brings benefits to employees and employers alike, but requires more effort on the part of executives.
Oh, no.
Fucking who?
I can't read this whole article because it's behind a paywall.
It's not for us.
I will never give The Economist my information, and I also don't think that they're worth the effort to get around this paywall, but I did read it, and I can summarize it for you. Basically, it takes more man hours and time and effort for executives and managers now to manage their employees remotely, because before they could just call you into their office and say a bunch of shit that doesn't matter and then get mad at you when you couldn't quite interpret that into anything meaningful, such as a task or like a, I don't know, a goal or something, because it was just all buzzwords. Basically, Dilbert is real, even if the guy that writes it is an absolute psycho.
A freak, yeah.
Yeah,
but he tapped into his own psychosis to create Dilbert.
What this person is arguing is that we should pay workers who work from home less because they get to work from home. And they're, even though they're more productive, like insanely more productive now that people are working from home and they don't have distractions like the water cooler, having lunch, I don't know, commuting. They're basically just arguing that we should pay managers and executives more because it's harder to manage a remote workforce and pay the actual remote workers less.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. Being a fucking manager is just made up. It's a made up job. It doesn't exist.
That's
being
right.
a manager
That's right.
is no work. It's making calls that don't matter, saying things that don't matter, just like you said, Todd, and then doing fucking nothing and getting mad at people who do more work than you for not doing enough work. And
That's
if
right.
anything mm-hmm. needs to be done with, like, this just is the crisis of the managerial class in essay form, right? This is their plea, like, please don't liquidate us now that it's obvious that we're totally fucking unnecessary and everything that we do could be done.
Oh,
by an email.
Insert gun cocking noise here.
Yeah, listen, I don't think I can say it any better than Vladimir Lenin, who said that The Economist is a newspaper which speaks for British millionaires.
It is, yeah.
Solid. I don't know why they're still allowed to exist after that burn.
Every single one of whom are pedophiles.
Yeah,
British
they're
millionaires,
all nonsense.
By the way, that's confirmed, okay?
There's yeah. evidence. Mm-hmm. No, you can't see it.
Yeah, the second your bank account takes
oh,
over seven figures,
it.
Over £1 million, then... You've raped children.
Yeah,
you become just a cult.
A child whose face is covered in coal with like a Scouse accent and like a limp with a crutch shows up at your door,
yeah.
and you're just allowed to do whatever you want. That's how British billionaires work.
Right. As soon as you become a billionaire, you just get children in the mail.
And even if you just play Mario Party with them, you're still complicit because you did whatever you wanted and that child
That's
couldn't
right.
even consent to play Mario
right.
Party.
But
imagine being the one British billionaire who's not a pedophile, but you just have like a house full of kids because you're like, I didn't know what else to do with them.
I just yeah. got them all Fortnite.
Don't get me wrong. I'm a messed up freak. It's just not this. This isn't my thing.
It's other stuff. I have yeah. bodies.
It's different stuff.
I like
yeah,
to kill
John,
adults, not anything with kids.
Yeah.
I feel bad.
A little bit first.
John's absolutely right. Manager isn't a real job, and you can know that because if you've ever worked a real job, like a retail job or a food service job, sometimes you get that cool manager who just like mm-hmm. understands that his job is fake, and
yes.
so he'll just do things like you should all pool your tips.
that's the difference between like a retail or like a restaurant or kitchen manager or like a shift manager and like a manager in an office who manages a bunch of accountants and has to be the one to be like, yeah,
yeah.
So you're no longer with the company because we need to maximize profit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And those managers...
There's a difference between those people, okay? So the first group is just people who are slightly higher in the fucking chain of command than, you know, a minimum wage worker,
yeah.
but don't necessarily have hiring and firing power. And then the other group should be shot out of a cannon into the sun after being fucking drawn and quartered.
Yeah, it's the whole question of, like, are you just a worker who, like, needed the extra $1.25 an hour, probably not even that, to, like, tell your fellow workers when to take their shift breaks? Or it's like, are you running the store and like disappearing into the back office and doing fucking nothing for
yeah.
6 hours of every mm-hmm. day? Like,
yeah, those yeah. people who have like a different office and then they just like sit on their, you know, laptop and look busy, and then every once in a while just like read a report and like, look, that percentage is a little bit too low. Better go harass somebody.
Raise it.
That's
up.
Not a fucking job.
Yeah, no, honestly, that like Rolling Stone article from earlier is the perfect barometer, because if it's someone who you can imagine macro-dosing at work of any drug and they don't do their job differently, then it's because they're a manager who isn't doing a real job.
Right, and they need to be given way too much of a certain kind of drug.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean,
too much weed. Eat every Dorito in the house and get fat.
A fun thing you can do that probably won't get you fired is if you ever see your boss on their computer, just start making like you're going to look at it. Just like start sidling up next to it. Like, what you working on? Oh, Zillow. I like to look at houses too. Like, you know. Like.
Yeah, nothing.
Hardly working. I'm kidding. But I mean, you know, not really.
I actually did
working?
That to the CEO of the company I worked for last time I had a real job. He was not very he was very mad at me.
What was he looking at?
He was on it. Like the thing that triggered that memory is that he was looking at houses.
He wasn't on the true non-subreddit.
It's always houses. People who have managerial jobs are like, oh man, I'm a fucking manager. I'm gonna look at $3 million houses, even if I can only afford $200K. Like,
they're always looking at fucking real estate.
Yes.
Because
yeah.
they can afford to invest in real
That's
estate.
Right.
Meanwhile, you're still fucking renting.
That's the way you can like get money.
Fucking. You know, do whatever you can. If you have a manager that's like this, do whatever you can to sabotage their happiness.
Absolutely.
All right? Mm-hmm. Like, just do whatever you can to like little things that make them question their own sanity, make them miserable. Just make sure they don't know it's you doing it, and then you'll probably get away with it.
Mm-hmm. Look up a flipper. look up a little gadget called a flipper that I've found out about. It allows you to sort of it's sort of a Swiss Army knife for hacking. It allows you to sort of just like key log from a distance, and you can do things like unlock cars with it. It's a crazy thing.
Oh yeah.
Maybe I'll just tweet it.
I think I've seen that before. It's like a little box. Yeah.
Send me a link, Bryn.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Well,
put some crazy glue in their lock to their office, and you know, also on their toilet seat or whatever.
Bare minimum, just take a Sharpie and rub it all inside the underside of their car door handle, so that when they get in and they wipe their face, then they have Sharpie ink all over their face.
Classic. That's a great one.
Always funny.
Classic.
Oh, you know what actually you could do is if you know where they keep their masks, get a hold of some asbestos. Mm. I'm not telling you what to do with the asbestos. Right.
No,
yeah, just keep it around. It might be useful. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Go, so if you hate your boss, go to a store where they sell chloroform. And then from this point, you're just going to have to use your best judgment.
Aw, hell. If you hate your boss, buy a gun.
There you go.
Yeah. If it's legal in your area, please buy a gun.
Look, is it illegal to put?
If it's not legal in your area, 3D print a gun. Yeah.
Is it illegal to have your boss take a nap at work because they happen to inhale some chloroform-like substance off their mask? It just means you can work more efficiently.
You're just
because they're not coming in and bothering you and putting on Steely Dan on the playlist instead of the 100 gex that you wanted to hear.
Constantly volunteer for the most dangerous tasks at work and then call your boss over to help you.
100 gex and Steely Dan just sound the same to me. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, there's no discernible difference.
All right. Thank you so much for listening to this wonderful show called Beep Beep Let Us. Please follow us on Twitter at WeedPod. Follow us all individually from there. And if you'd like to hear more episodes of this show, check out our Patreon, patreon.com/beepbeeplettuce. Otherwise, hang out with us on Facebook. In Mids posting, listen to my other show, Generation Loss. Listen to John's other show, Work Stoppage. And we'll see you in the Discord.
Beep on, y'all.
Goodbye.
Bye.